I've got Mr. Adrian Nez here with me today, and his audio is going to sound a little bit different than mine, but he's over there, he's yelling, he's trying to make it come through my computer into my mic. Not ideal, but we're going to nail it. So welcome to the second installment of Ask Carrot. We started Ask Carrot last week, actually was the first episode. Today is the second. We're going to be doing these every single Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific time, every single Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific time. And the whole aim of Ask Carrot is there's a few of them. One of them is to have an awesome two-way dialogue. Number two, Adrian and I are just going to have some fun today, just chatting, catching up. But we're going to dive in pretty deep on search engine optimization. And SEO isn't something everyone does, nor is it something we suggest everyone should do, but it's insanely effective. And we get a lot of questions from that stuff. Actually, some of the questions I got in last week were around SEO, and Adrian is like the SEO master. I remember, I literally remember like vividly, there's a restaurant down here, you've been in it, called Brix, B-R-I-X, down here from Care HQ. And I remember you and I, the first time we ever talked on the phone, I was standing in that restaurant eating lunch. And this was probably 2014, I would guess, right? Something like that. Okay. So 2014 is the first time Adrian and I, maybe even 2013, had a chance to talk on the phone. But it's been cool because ever since then, he's just been executing the heck out of the system and showing up on the coaching calls and executing, show up on the coaching calls and executing. And now, funny, but full circle, Adrian runs the coaching calls here at Carrot now and does strategy with our high-level investors. So no one better in the industry to have on Ask Carrot today than that. So I appreciate you, man, big time.
No, thank you. I remember that very clearly. That tells me, that really shows the power of taking action, because when you take action, and I'm going to be preaching a little bit here, but like, the power of taking action is not only do you execute what you're trying to execute, but it's amazing the doors that it opens and the relationships that comes with that. I mean, I can't imagine, like, if most of you follow me on Instagram, one of the things I got this from Trevor, is that my theme has always been change your family tree, right? Mm. And to me, it's amazing that one phone call literally changed my family tree, right? I mean, to me, it's been an amazing journey. I'm always proud to wear the orange. I don't bleed red. I bleed orange, and it's like it's just been really, really, really amazing. And it's been amazing to see the growth of Carrot, but the growth of Carrot really comes from the growth of our members just taking massive action. I mean, it's just amazing how this company has grown, of course, with great leadership, but at the same time, just people just executing the heck out of it, you know, and my goal has always been to teach people to do like 5 times more, 10 times more than I ever did with it. Mm-hmm. But it's been a lot of fun. I mean, now we have stuff like this. I don't know if you guys can see my screen, but I got stuff like this. I'm always picking up little gadgets. I don't know if you see this one, Trevor.
Oh, dude, are those lights or what are those things? Mm-hmm.
These, I don't know, it's really fancy carrots that I found over at, I found these fancy carrots over at TJ Maxx.
Oh, okay.
So they're kind of a trendy. Uh-huh. They've got these. These are really cool. So, guys, I live the carrot life, so.
Oh, I love it. So, before we dive into SEO, really quick, I don't know about you, but I've been testing new things to help increase my energy even more and increase my focus and things like that. And I'm always testing and tweaking things. And a couple different things I want to toss at people that are working really well for me now in the early stages. And I'm going to keep on these Ask Carrots, Adrian. And we'll just kind of talk about what's working, then we'll dive into the topic and answer questions. We had some really good questions coming through. If you guys have questions, post them through. If you're watching this on YouTube, post it in the comment section below. Or if you're on Facebook, post it in the comment section below. I saw a question from Zach and some others coming in. Or go to carrot.com/ask. Carrot.com/ask. And you can post this question. We'll be answering questions here in a bit. But I've been doing this for about probably 5 or 6 months. Been drinking mushroom tea. And mushroom tea, there's a company. I wish I had another packet of it here with me. But I just went and got one. This one is cordyceps. So cordyceps, if you actually read the description of what cordyceps is, I'm going to Google it right now, dude. Let me read this. So cordyceps is basically a fungus of some sort with like larvae. So listen to this. And I'm drinking this right now, Adrian. Cordyceps is a fungus that lives on certain caterpillars in the high mountain regions of China. Natural cordyceps is hard to get and maybe expensive. Most supplements are made with cordyceps, blah, 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 whatever. So I'm basically drinking a fungus on a caterpillar right now. But what this does is I don't drink coffee, and this is a massive replacement, if not even better than caffeine. And I don't get like the caffeine jitters. And so cordyceps gives you energy. And I've got two other types of mushroom teas that I drink. I'll usually drink one like on a daily basis. Oftentimes I'll heat up 12 ounces of water before I go to bed, and I'll pour in like a chaga tea or a reishi tea, something like that. So that's something that I've been on a kick, man, and I love it, and it's been working. Anything on your end that you've been testing and tweaking to optimize your life and body?
Man, I wish I could say yes, but first of all, my people have been drinking that for many centuries, so it's nothing new. I'm just kidding. So I was in Salt Lake City 2 weeks ago for the Investor Fuel Mastermind. First of all, it was really cool to see all of our members there. Mm-hmm. I am so blown away. So Investor Fuel is not like your – it's not a small mastermind. It's a very high-caliber mastermind, and I was so blown away that half of that room were all CARAT members. So,
yep.
It's always cool to see that. So kudos to Mike and Stenson who do that great event, and somehow they recruit a lot of our members, and maybe a lot of their members they get a lot of people because they're getting results and they're closing deals. So that's my thing.
I love it.
But I caught a cold that entire week, and I'm a big coffee drinker. That might be good, bad. I mostly drink black coffee, so I'm not really into the other stuff. But I was sick that entire week. And I drank tea for the entire week. And man, I think the one thing that, the reason why I bring that up is I sometimes when you drink tea or too much coffee, you get those jitters, you kind of, sometimes you even get irritated. But man, making that transition to tea the entire week,
yep,
was like, I need to do more of this. So it's interesting that you brought that up. Because yeah, I mean, coffee's awesome, but yeah, I mean, I need to experiment with what you're drinking. Shoot, I know you guys have been crushing it in your weekly workouts, and can't say I haven't done that yet, but yeah, that's some hardcore stuff there. Caterpillar
fungus, man. So people didn't come here to listen to me talk about my caterpillar fungus. What's up, guys? I just turned on Instagram. If you're coming on Instagram right now, this is Ask Carrot. Go to carrot.com/ask or check us out on Facebook. Mr. Adrian Nez is on there with me. You guys on Instagram are just watching me. But we're going to be talking about search engine optimization. How do you get more motivated seller leads through search engine optimization? And also, I'm going to be showing my screen here in a bit on how I beat Zillow with SEO. And a lot of people say, well, especially agents, well, you can't beat Zillow on SEO. Zillow's the big dogs. Or here in the real estate investor market, Adrian, there's other examples you and I can come up with. But one at the top of my mind is you can't beat Express Home Buyers, right? You can't beat Brad Chandler. Brad's a really good friend of ours. He came to Carrot Camp 2 times ago. The strategy he's been executing, we actually laid out for him 5 years ago. Like Adrian and I laid it out. Adrian executed it for 6 months, handed it over to their business, and they've been running with it ever since. So here's what we're going to do, Adrian. There's a couple questions. Zach asked a question below. Let's dig into – thanks, Ian. Let's dig into Brady. Thanks for fixing that, man.
Yep.
Let's dig into the question from Zach further down below. And if anyone has a question, put it in the Facebook thread and or it won't let me like see all the comments on Facebook now. They just keep threading up. You might need to just put them into Asana or something like that.
Do we have Asana?
Right? Do you? Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Oh, I see. Awesome.
Get the one from Zach in there if you could, please, because it's not letting me scroll up. Yeah. Sweet. We'll do your question here in a second, Zach. This is a good question right here. So someone asked the question, why does my ranking drop? So really, really good question. I'll draw something on here on the board. I'm going to toss it over to Adrian. I was on a call actually with Carter. Carter Steph, one of our Carrot clients out of Oklahoma. And he's the largest, if not one of the top few largest home buyers in all of Oklahoma. And Carter buys a lot of homes. He does a lot of offline marketing, came over to Carrot, moved over to a much higher converting website versus his custom WordPress site. His custom WordPress site looked pretty, but it didn't convert well once people got there. Moved over to Carrot and then also started to increase rankings. But he hit me up because there's a few rankings that he was going after, Adrian, that kept on jumping up from like position number 8 in Google to literally page 10, and then be there for a week. And then it bounced back up to position number 7, and then it was like page 10 again a week later. Then it was like position number 13. And if you look back the course of the year, it was just this up and down, like sharp ups and downs for those two rankings. And if your ranking drops, there's many, many reasons. Number one, the first thing I would ask you is, are you like on page 1 and it dropped down a couple rankings? Or was it like that where it went from, you know, page 1 down to page 10? Because there's probably two different types of issues. But Adrian, when you're looking at someone's situation, if someone sees a ranking in Google drop a little bit, what are the things that you look at and how do you then guide them toward on that?
Yeah, so me personally, first thing I like to do is ask them, what have you been doing? You know, what are some of the activities you've been doing? Have you been sharing blog posts? And sometimes I'll be blunt and say, hey, are you buying links from Fiverr? Are you purchasing stuff like that? And, and if I get a no, then usually I always tell them, depending on how long they've been implementing too, is here's one thing too, that is kind of normal too at the same time, you know. Progression with SEO is never going to be straightforward, meaning you're not going to start at 70, go down to 60, 50, 40, 35, 15. It's not going to be a straightforward progression. So Google is going to throw around. It's very common that they will throw a website around zigzag. Like they might push you up 10 space tomorrow, then next week 15. So I kind of caution people, don't initially overreact that something is wrong. It could just be Google, because Google's system is still a computer. It's not like someone's sitting there managing where you should be. There's other websites that could be implementing. There's a lot of different dynamics that play a role on why Google's throwing you all over the place. So most time it is a good signal, because, I mean, if you're just stuck in one position, then usually there's a problem. But if you're kind of being thrown around all over the place, that is somewhat normal, and it's actually a good sign. But at the same time, you don't want to let it go too long. So then the next thing I like to do is I like to see which page is ranking. So if I'm trying to rank for Pittsburgh, but Wilmington page is coming up for some reason, then likely I got to start chaining up a lot of the content. Mm-hmm. I just tested that recently. I have my Buy My House company website. It's primarily been focused on Pennsylvania, and I start adding other pages. What Trevor said, I do the same thing. I learned this from Trevor, is your absolutes are going to always come through testing. So that's where a lot of people, that's what I love about Carrots, that we're always, always testing, and we're not afraid to test. So I put up a Wilmington page on that site, and some of the Pittsburgh pages were coming up for Wilmington, which that shouldn't be happening. So what I start doing is, okay, what's happening is Google was beginning to see these pages identical to each other, and I forced Google to determine which one was best. I don't like to leave things in Google's hands, because they might choose the wrong page, or progression starts or stops, because the two pages are tripping over each other. So that's why you have a lot of that movement. So that's why we always teach our members, change up the content. Make it as unique as possible, because that leaves no room for that type of possible issues. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that I would look at if it's doing it, but I would say I would first ask, what have you been doing? If you've been doing backlinks, where are you getting your backlinks? How are you creating your backlinks? Anchor text, what's your anchor text? I know I'm throwing a lot of technical terms at you guys, but I think most of you who have interest in the subject probably kind of have an idea what we're talking about. But that's the thing that we love. That's why you guys should be, for you members, jump on the weekly coaching calls. Those are the things that we break down 100% and just go through the different things that could be the issue. And most times we get to the root of it right away.
I love it. And I'll kind of pile on a couple things. So with Carter's situation as an example, where it's going up and down drastically, the first thing I like to do is, number one, are they penalized, right? Because you can get penalized in Google if you do the wrong things. And we're going to answer Zach's question next, because it's about this. So we're going to answer Zach's question here in a second. But you can get penalized in Google if you build bad backlinks. If you are linking to websites in bad neighborhoods, like you don't want to link to a porn site as an example. Use that terrible example. You don't want to link to that. It puts you in a bad neighborhood with your website. And so the first thing I do is then I Google their company name. Is their company name still ranking really, really well? If their company name's still ranking really well and some other ones are ranking well, you probably didn't get dinged or penalized because of bad backlinks at that point. So go, cool, check the box. I don't think that they're penalized in Google. Now the next thing we go is, okay, they're clean. They're not penalized, at least we, as far as we can tell. And if we see some wild swings, it's usually something related around domain authority, right? You need to build some more good quality backlinks. And Google's just trying to kind of figure it out. It's like, whoa, this site, we can tell it's good quality, but there's something weird. And every time they reevaluate and shift things around, it's like, bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
So make sure you have good quality backlinks in there. If you're not actively building good quality backlinks, which we can talk about that later today, what those are, how to get them. But if you're not actively building good quality ones and your competitors are, that's where we'll see people slip. Another example is one of our big clients in Tennessee, big home buyer, large home buyer in Tennessee. And they've been dominating Google for years, even before they came aboard Carrot. They moved over from their low converting site to their high converting site, retained the number one ranking for a couple of years. But as much as we were encouraging them to then dive into SEO, they got too busy. They never went. So now they're like number seven, number eight, after a year of just slippage one by one. And it's because their competitors are actively building backlinks. They're actively getting reviews and ratings online. They're actively putting content on their websites. And they saw this other website as, well, no one's really working on it, so we're going to keep on bumping it down slowly but surely. So make sure that you guys aren't penalized first. You can tell that just by Googling your company name and see if it pops up good, and Google some other phrases, see if they pop up on the page on page one. If so, it shouldn't be penalized. And then next, you're probably not working enough to get the ranking to pop up versus your competitors. So let's go into Zach's question now. So Zach Wilson.
Yep. Okay. Let me say this real quick, Trevor. Yep. So I'm glad you brought it up, because here's the thing too, guys. If you're not getting the results you're looking at, a lot of times it's actually that technically nothing is wrong. Mm-hmm. You're not doing the right things enough mm-hmm. and consistently. There's a big difference between, because I think eventually when we're not getting the results we're looking for, we think something is wrong, right? But with SEO, again, based on the level of competition and based on your authority, based on where you are in the timeline, because I mean, Google's not going to promote you in the first couple months because they don't know you, mm-hmm. right? So there's a lot of different dynamics, but that's the other thing too, guys, is that, yeah, I mean, if you're passive in the SEO and you're just kind of dabbling it here and there, you're not going to build that momentum, because here's the other thing too, guys, is SEO simply, our personal definition of SEO is you're simply gaining Google's trust, mm-hmm. right? That's it. So as Trevor talked about, you know, are you getting reviews? Are you active with your blog posts on social media? A lot of times we do tend to focus a lot on the on-page optimization and the off-page optimization, but you got to ask yourself, what can I be doing to show Google that I'm trustworthy to be promoted? That's the mindset that you want to have. And when you have that right mindset, then you begin to think about quality, not quantity. Because I think a lot of times a lot of people here is talking about backlinks. So now they think they got to go out and get 100, but really if you just get 5 quality, that's a lot better than your competitors who might have 200 backlinks, but 99% of those are trash. Yep. But again, it's just a mindset. So I'm glad you brought it up, because again, guys, sometimes there's nothing wrong. It's just, you're not doing enough of the right things to get you where you want to mm-hmm. be.
So let me answer Zach's question. So Zach says, I hired a sketchy SEO company about a year ago. That's the first problem, sketchy SEO company. I hired a sketchy SEO company about a year ago. Since then, I've noticed my rankings taking a tumble. There are a ton of spammy links on the link profile that I believe are PBNs. What a PBN, y'all, is called a private blog network. It's kind of a way to game backlinks, where the person that's doing the backlinks for you, and this is oftentimes what cheap backlinks are, is they own hundreds of these websites, really low quality websites out there, and you purchase backlinks from them, and then they place backlinks for you on all these websites that they own, which isn't natural. Google doesn't like stuff that's not natural. He says, how does one recognize a bad backlink, first of all? And what number two, what's the process for disavowing? So the first thing that I do, I mean, there are tools, first of all, Zach, that can help you with it. Like Ahrefs will give a quality or trust score, trust rank on them. There's probably other free tools too that you can quickly Google and figure out, like SEO trust rank tool or something like that. Moz has good tools for doing that. And if you are seeing rankings tumble, it might be worth it to invest for a few months in a tool like that. You know, $100 a month, whatever it's going to be for a few months, and look at their scores of this is low trust, low quality. The next thing is There is a tool inside of Google Webmaster Tools called the Google Disavow Links tool. And I've actually got it pulled up on my screen. I'm not going to show it, but if you guys go to Google and actually search Google Disavow Links tool, it's inside of your Webmaster's tool. And what you do is you'll go in there, choose the website you're wanting to disavow links for. And after you figure out, Zach, those ones that are low quality in one of those tools, or I'll give you another way to pick out low quality really quickly, then you just go inside of there and one by one put those in there. Now, with a caveat, number one, disavowing doesn't guarantee that Google's going to stop looking at it. It just says, hey, Google, we don't like this link. And here's the reason why, because your competitors, right? Like your competitors could technically build bad backlinks to your website. And that's a protection against unethical SEO treatment against your competitors. And that's something that happens quite often, that I could go in and someone that hasn't put a lot of work into their SEO, I could go in and tank their rankings over a period of 3 or 4 months by me fraudulently building a bunch of bad backlinks for you. If you haven't done a good job building your SEO, building a good backlink profile to start. But then if someone did that to you, or if you bought bad backlinks, like, guys, never buy backlinks from Fiverr.com. Please never, no SEO, anything at all. Never ever buy anything SEO related off of Fiverr. I would be insanely careful ever buying anything search engine optimization related off of Upwork, off of Odesk, off of any of them. Okay. And then people are probably going like, where do I get it from? I'm not saying no one on Upwork and Odesk are good quality. I'm just saying most of them are not. Okay. Most of them are not. And the things you're going to want to look for is, like Adrian said, are they going after volume? Are you going to Fiverr and buying batches of 100 links, of 500 links, or whatever? Those are going to be volume and terrible quality and going to bite you in the butt. Oftentimes what they're doing is they're setting up, like Zach said, private blog network links, PBN links. They're very low quality, high quality at the start, but oftentimes they nail you later. They're setting up like links and profiles on social media sites over in Bangladesh, and over in Ukraine, and over in China. You know, all these social media profile sites, that's really spammy. They're not using content. And the way that we teach backlink building inside of our 3 lead per day training, Adrian actually teaches that whole section. We teach how to actually leverage content, effective, high value content on other websites that are valuable that link back to your site. So if you're a Carrot customer, go to our 3 lead per day training. It's only $100, y'all, one time. And we update it quite often. We did a massive update this past 6 months. Yeah. Our 3 lead per day training walks through exactly how to effectively and ethically build backlinks. But yeah, Zach, I think go through and grab one of those tools, or you can just do a free backlink check on some free backlink checking tools online and look at the ones. If they look spammy to you, they're probably spammy. Okay, man. So like, if they look spammy to you, one by one, start disavowing them inside of Google, and there's no guarantee it's going to happen. But oftentimes it's a 3, 6, 9 month process for those to start to work their way out of there. Yep.
Yeah. So one thing I'll say too is, I think where a lot of people get tempted and continue to use these type services is, here's the thing, that those type of backlinks will initially work for you. So you might jump up and have a boost, initially at the beginning. But what happens is Google begins to catch up to you. And then, you know, and I always say, the way I like to put it is, Google will correct its system, because they'll be so. I always have people say, well, I bought this, or I did this, and it's working. But then I talk to them 3 months later, and they just dip, because those links are, which is a good thing in some cases, that because they will fall off themselves too, because they're so bad that, you know. So there's a lot of people that kind of try and push quick burst type links that will, because Google's system is still a computer, so it will. Just because you get an initial boost at the beginning doesn't mean it's going to last. That's the reason why we like to leverage content, and we like to leverage high authority websites, because those are not going to go anywhere. Ahrefs is a great tool to do that. I think I pay $150 a month. It's worth it. To me, SEO is very important. It's a great foundational marketing for you, because, I mean, long term, I think I always tell our members, if you're going to be in this business a year from now, everybody should be doing SEO. Because, I mean, the ROI just continues to grow. So anything you put into this is well worth it, in my opinion.
I love it. So I don't know. I'm not an artist, guys. I'm not an artist here. I'm going to bring the board closer. So someone asked a question. Next question came through. Why should I continue search engine optimization once I've gotten good rankings? So the first thing I want to do, guys, is, once again, Carrot is widely known as the best tool for getting search engine rankings in the real estate industry, but we have a lot of people that crush it with Carrot that don't do SEO at all. Okay. They use it for the high conversion side of it with PPC, or they use it because they're doing all offline marketing, and all of your offline marketing drives online demand, meaning people take out their cell phone and they start searching for your company name, your phone number that's on the direct mail piece, that's on your cold call, caller ID, yep, whatever it is. And then that comes online, the Carrot gets converted well. But so he asked the question, why should I continue SEO once I've gotten good rankings? So this is a good example. Going back to the example I mentioned a little bit ago about our Tennessee client, we're the biggest buyer in Tennessee, big budget. They do a lot of offline TV, radio, direct mail. They were ranked number one in Google for a long time with the site they'd had around for about 10 years. They moved over to Carrot, retained that ranking for another 2 years, got a lot more new rankings, brand new rankings started to pop up because the website structure was set up better, loads faster, converts better, all that stuff. It got new rankings, but the problem was we kept on saying, guys, you got to start getting active and building backlinks to the website because SEO, other people are doing it and you're not. And so the question, why should I continue once I've got good rankings? For this reason right here. So this was the client. They've been ranking number one in Google for lots of different phrases over a long period of time. This is, you know, competitor number two, competitor number three down there, competitor number four. Let's say that the person that's in number one is no longer doing any work to remain there. They're not putting up good quality content, showing Google, hey, we're valid, we're relevant. They're not doing backlinks, which means, hey, there's no people linking to this website, which gives good indications that other people like the website, the quality is higher. But let's say these people are. Let's say they've got reviews, good solid reviews that are pointing to their website. And let's say, you know, they're building some good quality links to their website from articles they're writing, or they got published in the local newspaper, or they're going through our 3 lead per day training, following up Adrian teaches. And let's say they're doing that. And let's say this person isn't. What's going to happen over time is you're going to see one day, this is going to be number two, and this is going to be number one, that's going to bounce back, right? It's like, that one goes from number one to number two, and they're like, well, that was kind of weird. Then it goes back. And then maybe 3 weeks later, it does the same thing. It goes from one to two, then it bounces back. And then eventually it goes, well, then it goes down to three, and then this one leaps up here to one, and then it doesn't bounce back. Then it's in number three position. And you're going to keep on seeing that gradual eroding of your ranking if you're not actively doing SEO, actively building links, getting some content on your website, which we'll show you how to do that way easily with our system. And then these ones are going to increase. So we've even seen where a Carrot client had dominated the rankings. A Carrot client had actually ranked number one in Google for that market for years. And then they stopped putting in the work. A Dallas client is an example that I can think. I'm not going to name them, but a Dallas client. And then you see other Carrot customers come through and they're executing. They're executing the 3 lead per day training and they overtake them. That happens all the time. So that's why you've got to maintain it. It's just like a body. You wouldn't go from overweight and out of shape and unhealthy to working your butt off, getting in shape. And then you go, man, I'm in shape now. I don't have to do anything. I can sit on the couch again. I can eat Cheetos again. I can do all that stuff again. What's going to happen is you're going to get overweight and out of shape again, right? So it's the same thing with SEO.
No, and that's the other thing too, guys, is that SEO is changing. There's more information out there. There's so much information out there that wasn't readily available 3, 4, 5 years ago. Like for me, I remember when I came up, it took me 7, 8 months to get to my website, and I was hands off from there. But even myself in the last year or so, I've had to pick up SEO again because, you know, obviously we're kind of the culprits of putting so much information about how to do SEO out there. Yep. So now people are taking that and running with it. So again, kind of goes back to, I always like to use NASCAR as an analogy. You know, just because you're in front of the line doesn't mean you take your foot off the pedal. If anything, you got to maintain that, you know, if you want to stay ahead of the pack. Because in some markets, you take off your foot off the pedal just a little bit, you're going to start falling behind. So, so SEO is changing in terms of where it is going to be more ongoing maintenance. You know, before, you know, you didn't really have to do that, but there's just so much competition. And it's a good thing, you know, I mean, it keeps you on top of your thing. So I don't say that to deflate anyone's, you know, like, man, like, you know, but it, you know, it's just part of business, it's part of competition. Yep. And, you know, and if you're producing ROI, shoot, you should be protecting that position anyways.
For sure. Everyone on Instagram, you guys mentioned, I can't see the board. I'm sorry. I've got the main screen here. If you're on Instagram, go over to Facebook and we're streaming live there. That's got the whole thing. Or to YouTube, go to Ask Carrot. kira.com/ask. But if you're on Instagram, get over there. All right. Thanks, guys. Awesome. Thanks, closing coach. So a couple things I want to address there for search engine optimization. Adrian had mentioned that, and I had mentioned too, that just like with working out and staying in shape and maintaining our bodies, we have to maintain our marketing. We have to maintain our website because other people are working. And if we don't, then they're going to pass us. And also, you have to maintain the tech stack of your website. So I've seen this happen so many times, Adrian, where people come to us because their website got hacked, as an example. They had a WordPress site. It ended up getting hacked because they didn't update their plugins. They didn't update this. And they had so many different plugins, and these plugins conflicted. Or the security on their server, no matter if you have the best hosting company in the world, we have people all the time that come to us because their websites got slow, they got out of date, they got hacked, whatever it is. So you have to maintain the tech stack and the actual implementation. The cool thing is, all you care customers out there, you don't have to maintain the tech stack at all. We do it all for you. So we made a big update just recently. We make one usually about every quarter to make the websites even faster. And so we made one this quarter, we made one last quarter, make them even faster. So you would be hard pressed to find any system. Like even if you got a virtual private server on, you know, Liquid Web or something like that, a really, really good Bluehost, a really good web hosting company. Even if you got a virtual private server, which is going to cost you between $50 and $100 a month, and then you put on a WordPress site, then you have to pay a web person to keep it updated and keep it, develop it more. And when mobile technology changed, you have to pay them to do it again. You don't have to do any of that with Carrot. It all just is updated for you. Makes it fast. So the reason I go to this is the next question we're going to dive into is they ask, does website speed really matter with ranking better? So I'll lead this one, toss it over to you. Website speed is one of the factors. No one knows exactly where it is, but it's one of them. And kind of my gauge, just from what I've experienced, I'd love your opinion on it too, Adrian. My gauge is that website speed probably isn't as much of a factor until you get in that top five rankings in page one.
Right.
And it's really, because if you look at the general criteria that Google's going to look for, they're going to look for, number one, is the content relevant to the search. You know, if someone searches buying farmland in Roseburg, Oregon, as an example, is the content on that page relevant to the search? And is it robust? Okay. If it's not, then that's going to be the first thing. You're not going to have a chance to rank. The next thing is going to be cool. Is the title tag optimized? And is the structure of the website laid out in a way? And there's the off-page stuff. There's your backlinks, stuff like that we just talked about a little bit ago. But once you get in that top five rankings, then it's a horse race at that point. Because I mean, if you're in the top five rankings, you probably at that point have pretty good valid relevant content, right? Your content's probably pretty relevant. The number one ranking's probably pretty relevant. So then page speed comes into play. And also, here's one that a lot of people have no clue comes into play, which is click-through rate. So if you do a Google search and you click a ranking, let's say you click the number three ranking because the words in the title tag were just sexy and they made you want to click it, right? Let's say you click that. If the number three ranking gets a lot more clicks than the number one ranking, Google looks at it and goes, well, that must be more relevant than the number one ranking. Let's bump it up a little bit. So site speed does matter. It matters way less when you're below ranking five. You need to focus on content and backlinks. But then once you're in the top five, page speed can matter. We've seen it actually matter in a big way between number one and number two position. What do you see, man?
Yeah, so one of the things that I really love doing with SEO is I always love teaching the non-technical side of it. So the way I'll bring that across is the reason why speed matters is if how many of you have been on a website that just was super slow, right? So what's going to happen is if as much as that website could have provided with so much value and information and maybe even a solution or whatever, none of us are patient enough to kind of ride it out. So what happens is when your site is that slow or a site is slow, it's going to kill the user experience, meaning that person's likely not going to stick around because they're frustrated and they're just going to bounce. So what Google is really beginning to look at more and more, guys, is what's the behavior of your traffic when they come on your website? So one of them is the big indicator starts with the click-through rate. That's why, guys, in your meta description, don't make it about SEO. The mentality of the meta description should be more about sell the click. Sell the click. Meaning, you know, what can I say that's different from the first five listings or really the whole top listings that will compel someone to choose you and click on your link? So that starts with that. And then once someone comes on your website, someone should be able to freely navigate anywhere they want on their site. And of course, that's where the speed comes in, is the more they can do that without any interference or lag, they're gonna stay on your website. And Google is beginning to see and look at those signals I think I said this on one of the trainings or in the 3 Leads Per Day training, is Google decides how bad or how good your website on. Of course, all the SEO factors that we talk about plays a role in that, but the ones that's trending more and more lately is, how are people engaging with your website? You know, are they scrolling? Are they going to other pages? Are they staying on your website? Right. So those are the signals that they're beginning to look at more and more, because it makes sense. I mean, why are they going to put someone at number one if that website can't perform? Because Google has a lot at stake on who they put on page one, because they rely heavily on ads, and they're just not going to put a subpar website on page one. You got to really earn that. So that's why I kind of like to put into the speed and how that factors in. It goes back to just allowing someone to navigate, and of course that plays a role in how long they stay. And then those signals goes back to Google, and now they either like you or they think that you suck.
Mm-hmm. It's user experience, right? And same thing, guys, if you're a Carrot member, you don't have to worry about it. We're always updating and making things even faster on a quarterly basis. And basically the tech stack that you've got on the Carrot side is a tech stack that would cost you tens of thousands to build out, first of all. But then next of all, it would cost you over $1,000 a month in a dedicated server with a web person doing that stuff all the time, attacking bots that are hitting your server, doing all kinds of things. So if you test a stock Carrot website out of the box before people add a bunch of images and stuff like that to it, because they might be adding images that are too big or 8,000 YouTube links on there. But if you test a stock Carrot website versus a non-Carrot website, you're going to find that the speed difference is immeasurable. Even if you look at Express Home Buyers, dude, like, I love Brad, and they're crushing it right now, but their page speed is among the worst that I've seen in the industry, and I think it's going to end up biting them in the butt over the next year or two. Hopefully it doesn't, because I love them, but I think it's going to.
No, you're spot on with that, and that's the thing too, guys, I network with a bunch of other SEO guys, you know, but you know, I'm in that industry, and I'm telling you, people love, I'm so amazed how many people love SEO or SEO experts who love Carrot, because we don't have to worry about the tech stack. We don't have to worry about the technical SEO, because that's probably the hardest part on the SEO, is the technical part. And I'm just amazed how many people try to duplicate Carrot over and over, which, you know, they can to a degree visually, but when it comes to the tech stack, the engine, if you want to call it that, behind, you know, under the hood, that's very few people will ever touch Carrot in that matter. And there's a reason why you do a search in any term, any market, there's a reason why Carrot's always probably among half of that page. Yeah. And a lot of it has to, and I personally don't want to be one of those SEO guys that spends most of my time trying to figure out the technical part. Yep. Because that takes away from doing the most important things as well, like content, all that kind of jazz.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Dude, one thing that popped up, we should do some like live page speed testing with some people's websites on here. Maybe we'll do a little test there. But one thing, a question from Jeff on Facebook. Jeff says, I've had a URL, a domain with decent quality, with a decent quality website. If I move everything to Carrot, should I keep my 10-year-old domain? Does that help us or does it even matter? Thanks. Adrian, toss it over to you first, man.
Oh, dude, those are the ones I love working with. I mean, when you have a domain that's been active and it's aged for a while, to me, those are gold as an SEO guy. Those are ones I love working with, because I do see Google does respond quicker. And it's kind of like taking, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but we have many, many, many testimonials that where people have had sites that impacted them in so many ways. Some of them, they jump up in rankings very, very quickly because all the right technical stuff with Carrot is in place, and they just make a massive change. But also the other factor is on the conversion side, right? So I know a lot of times we talk a lot about traffic, and because I mean that you know, when you talk about marketing, it's going to always be two elements, traffic and conversion.
Yep.
So, but yeah, it does make a massive difference. And that's the thing too, guys, people like Brad Chandler, they're crushing it because they've had their domain for what, 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. If you look at a lot of their city pages, there's very few backlinks going to those city pages. The majority of them are going to the homepage, but a big part of why
Brad is able to move into multiple markets so easily. It's not because of the, yes, because of the SEO, but if you do backlink checks, there's none. It's just a part of that. Their success has been that Google trusts them because they've been around for a very, very, very long time. And of course, they've invested a lot into SEO as well. I think it makes a huge difference for sure.
Yep, it
so does. I'm excited for Jeff if he does, for sure.
I'm with him. And I'm going to pile on that too is with, like Adrian said, there is an advantage with a seasoned domain. There is an advantage for sure. So if you've got one that's been on the web for 10 years, there will be an advantage versus if you're starting from scratch, if you're starting fresh, you're going to have to then build that up from scratch. Now, this is the same conversation I had with Dan Lane in Tennessee. The same conversation I had was this, was they had two or three different websites in another system. They moved everything over to, or they moved their primary website over to Carrot. But he's like, hey, should I have these other ones up here because they're already ranking and not move them over to Carrot? And this is the thing that I tossed to him. I said, you already know that those ones don't convert because you said that they don't. You get visitors to them. They're not converting as well as they could. So why would we continue sending people to a website that we know is underperforming? If you lose one deal a year, and let's say your average profit per deal is 20K. If you lose one deal a year because of underperformance, that's $20,000 a year you're losing. Carter Steph in Oklahoma, he was losing far more than that. He reported back to us after moving over from his custom site. Domain's been around for a decade. It was an amazing, pretty looking custom site, man. And everyone would have picked it as a better site versus this current Carrot one because they didn't own conversion. They look at prettiness versus performance. And basically Carter moved over and he hit us up later. He's like, man, I didn't drive any extra traffic to this thing. My leads increased by over 50%. And then he went on to say some other things. So that's what I would suggest, Jeff, is really look at, is your strategy moving forward going to be focus core on online? Even if you're doing offline, online should be the hub of everything you do, because what we all do is we all take out these cell phones. Got Instagram followers on here, y'all. We take out the cell phones and we search for things on our cell phones before we make any decisions. So if you're doing direct mail, cold calling, RVMs, TV, radio, doesn't matter, you're driving online demand. So make sure, number one, Jeff, that you're going to be able to save a ton of time and money by coming over to our tech stack. You're never going to have to worry about page speed. You're going to have to worry about as new phones come out, new technologies come out, does it look amazing on mobile? We take care of all that. You're going to have all the support and stuff too, of course. But then next is the conversion, is if you keep your website on the old one. And let me know, Jeff, if you send it through, if you're still on, send through your URL. We can bring it up here on the website and we can show it. Send through your URL. We can take a look at it. Because we do see some that look great. And it's like, cool, maybe you just make a couple tweaks and then you'll crush it, keeping what you already got. Or maybe you can make some big leaks coming over. So I'm going to share my screen now. And I think I'm pushing the right button. This is transition. Sweet. Awesome. So you guys should be able to see my screen now. So I pulled up a page speed report from a site called GT Metrics. There's a bunch of page speed tools out there. Some of them are better than others. And it was funny. This time last year, we were getting emails from our customers saying, oh my gosh, the Carrot sites are loading so slow. And we're like, what are you guys talking about? They're like the fastest in the industry. There's no way. And so we would pull them up and they were using, Adrian, what's that big SEO Rush?
It was SEM Rush.
SEM Rush, yeah. They were using the SEM Rush page speed tool or whatever it was. And it's a good tool, but the problem is this, and also one of the benefits that you get as a Carrot customer, is we find things that slow down. We find things that slow down our servers, i.e. your websites. And oftentimes it's tools like that. And SEM Rush just happens to be a tool that has a very, very, very high page load on when people use it. GT Metrics and some other ones are really lightweight on our servers when they ping our servers to see how fast the website is. SEM Rush like crap just hammers your servers. And so our tech team saw that and we're like, you know, we're gonna buffet any traffic from SEM Rush. And we did it just to help you guys out. But what we weren't realizing was that when you guys were running reports, it would show the site slow because we were purposefully slowing down SEM Rush traffic. Because it's like, this traffic isn't your leads. This traffic is just hitting the server, making websites slower. We're going to nail that so you guys don't have to worry about it. So we took care of that, some other things. But this is a good report. So what I did here, I just pulled up some random ones. And once again, this isn't to bash on Brad. Like, this is to love on Brad because I want to use him as an example because he's the guy that everyone brings up. It's like, oh my gosh, Express. I've had two conversations this week about Express Home Buyers came in my market. I'm like, yeah, they're implementing the plan, guys. And momentum happens. Like, That didn't happen a year after we started working with him. It didn't happen 2 years. He executed, he executed, he executed. And 3-4 years later, now you see all the momentum and they're everywhere. So look at this, guys. This site over here is a site from a customer that used to be a customer of ours. And the reason I'm saying that, they're a big investor in Wichita. And they used to be a customer of ours, but then they decided to go a route that they thought was better working with a very reputable company. Like, I like the company. I like Scott a lot. But they're not pros on the tech stack and the website of things or conversion. And so if we just look at the tech stack side of things, they went from basically this right here is Jason Bible's website in Houston. He moved over from a custom site, largest home buyer in Houston. There's even some things we could do to make this faster if we reduce the size of some of his images or took some videos out. But basically, the Wichita investor, he moved over to a system that's going to convert lower, and the page speed and the tech stack is just far, far inferior. So if you look at the page speed grade, it's an F. It's going to be really, really hard to crack through and rank in the top one or two because of a bunch of factors, that's one included. But then also, when they're driving PPC traffic to this, like Adrian mentioned, you need to have a website loading fast. The website needs to load fast. We all know that if a website takes 2-3 seconds to load, or even 1.5 seconds, sometimes we bounce back. And so this website is loading really slow. You look to the middle one, is this carrot site. Many of them up are in the 90%. It's just dominating and crushing all the greens. There's a couple things we can even improve still that'll go in our next round. And then this over here is Express Home Buyers. The reason I'm showing this is you don't have to have the fastest website on the block to rank really well. Content, backlinks, domain authority is a big deal. But then once you get in those top few rankings, page speed will make a difference. This guy in the middle, Jason Bible, hasn't had to do anything with his tech stack. And he's paying less per month with Carrot than he ever would, even trying to have a web hosting company that was even semi-comparable to the web hosting that you'll get here at Carrot. And you don't even think about the web hosting at Carrot. It's just included. Everyone's like, they forget that the best quality web hosting in the world is included in your plan. It's just a part of it. So use this tool to compare your website.
And here's the thing too, guys. When we say tech stack, we're not talking about like plugins, any of that stuff. I think a lot of people tend to rely too much on, plugins. Me and Trevor being transparent, like we don't want to restrict them, but a lot of times the plugins will do anything but slow down. And a lot of times overall, they don't really perform the way that I think people want it to perform, meaning that a plugin is not going to get you ranked, guys. I mean, it can guide you. It's a great tool. But don't think that by having more plugins is going to have a site that's going to perform best. So when we say tech, we're not talking about plugins too, by the way.
Yep, exactly. Dude, I could go off on rebels in this. That's another thing is plugins. A lot of people will even try to add plugins to Carrot, but we purposefully limit that because we want you to be an investor.
Yeah.
We want you to be an agent. Let us focus on the techie side of it. And what we put in is what we know works. What we put in is what we know performs. And we let you just ignore all that. Know that what's in there is the best performing, and then you just do your work. A couple more questions here, man. Now, I've actually got a podcast with Kylie Newbold in 6 minutes. Bree, would it work if Kylie hopped on here with us for a little bit?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Ping him and just have him go to call with Trevor. And we'll hop in. And then after this, so we probably got another 10-15 minutes, and Kylie and I are going to do a Carrot Cast. A few more questions. Question from Ty Johnson from YouTube says, quick question. If you had a marketing budget, where would you rather spend it, at Facebook or Google pay-per-click? Adrian.
So some of this will come to skill set too, guys. So I think there's a lot of factors. My experience has been this, and I'm going to say that I'm not a Facebook expert either, but a lot of people tend to be attracted to Facebook because the cost per click is cheaper, which it is, and people stay away from Google because the cost is higher. But I have found my cost of acquisition is cheaper with Google than it is with Facebook. Obviously, that's kind of a bold statement to make where I'm saying Google is better, but of course, there's a lot of other dynamics that play a role on why maybe I'm experiencing that. Like your audience, how you're targeting, how good is your ad copy on the AdWords side? You know, what keywords are you using? How good is your ad copy? So there's a lot of different dynamics, but that I think that's a big question. You know, but I think a lot of it has to go with skill set too. Like me personally, and not talking from as a lead generator, but just as a wholesaler myself, I would say if you have a very limited budget, identify what your skill set is and run with that. So meaning if you're really good at talking with people, you build good rapport, do cold calling and then use your website to back you up as you're talking to people. I have seen people lose cold call deals because they didn't have a website. But so use your website more for credibility, but do what you're good at. That's your low hanging fruit. Like if you need to do a deal in the next 30 days, use your skill set. So if you're impatient, you hate numbers, you don't like rabbit holes, then I probably would stay away from pay-per-click. Yep. Because that's a whole new skill set that you're going to have to learn. The reason why I've excelled in that area is because I'm very analytical. I love going down rabbit holes. I love testing. So that's why I've done so well, because I kind of stayed in that skill set. So I would say, you know, depending on your situation, your budget, I would say, logically, do marketing that fits in your skill set. But if you're trying to ask what Facebook and
I'm messing stuff up. I clicked the actual live feed on the YouTube to see if I could see the comments, and I started talking. Sorry, man. Interrupted you.
Oh, you're good. Good. So I mean, I see some people experience different things. I just have found pay per click. It is more expensive click wise, but acquisition is cheaper than Facebook for me.
Yep. And I've got a little diagram on my board, and you Instagram peeps, you're not going to miss out this time. I'm remembering about it. But basically, I've drawn this many times. I call it lead stacking or traffic stacking. Okay. So during traffic stacking, what you want to do is the first thing that we like to do and what we teach here at Carrot is what's up, babe? My wife's working out in the Carrot gym, catching her on live. She doesn't like that. So I call it traffic stacking. The first thing we like to start with, because we know it builds momentum, it builds a lot of predictability and consistency, is search engine optimization. Like Adrian mentioned, though, it really does depend on the resources you have. If you have the ability to execute our training and or you have funds to pay someone else to execute for you, search engine optimization, bar none, is going to get you your highest margin deals. It's going to get you consistency and predictability over the long term, and it's going to really help you set everything else off. Okay, that's why that's such a big deal, guys. Even if you're doing offline cold calling, whatever, this needs to be a part of your plan eventually. If you can't do the work yourself, you need to make money doing another route and then hire someone to do SEO or do the work yourself. Then the next thing that we suggest is Google AdWords. So that's the second thing that we suggest for sure, guys, is Google AdWords, pile on what Adrian mentions, because it's more predictable. It's more consistent. We can usually pull leads out of Google AdWords. We know in different markets about how much it's probably going to cost us to get a deal. And we can usually get a deal out of Google AdWords within 60 days. That's kind of always our timeline. Yeah. Is if we launch a campaign and we're doing it and we know how to do it right, so within 60 days, we've got a deal done. Okay. The Facebook side of things is what we stack on third. We do Facebook third, and that's retargeting. So we'll usually do retargeting on there first. So any of the traffic that's already going to the website, you want to make sure to put the Facebook pixel on there. It's really easy to do on Carrot. And then set up a few ads that are testimonials, or you talking about what you do and drive people back to your website to help them out. And then once retargeting is in place, if you want to ramp it up even further, then you dive into Kylie's training. Kylie's training, our Facebook course, actually dives into Facebook in a big way. But then next, it dives in, how do you now go out there and do cold prospecting on Facebook? And that works really good as well. It's just, it's a little bit less predictable in some markets than AdWords. And then SEO builds a momentum over the long term. So this is how we like the traffic stack. And this is exactly what Chandler's doing. This is what Adrian's doing. This is what our most successful clients are doing. But you can make it work with just one. Like we have people, there's a Carrot Camper, man, Michael Stansberry, in the Carrot Camp alumni page. I was reading it. I asked people updates from last Carrot Camp, and he put in there, he said, our business grew dramatically. Our number one source of leads is referrals. Number two is Facebook. So for him and his market, Facebook's crushing it. And he's not doing any AdWords, a little bit of SEO. So just, this is the ideal. This is the ideal to get scale and momentum. But you pick and choose what's right for you, and then stack them on as it makes sense. For sure. We'll do a couple more questions, man. And then let's see. Okay, this is a good question. So Dustin asks, our website already ranks high with SEO for many of the searches. Oh, one thing I forgot to show you guys how to beat Zillow with SEO. I'm going to show you guys. Our website already ranks high with SEO for many of the searches we think customers would be doing. Should we do Google AdWords pay-per-click if we are already organically high? Is that a waste of money? Adrian, should they be doing Google AdWords if they're already ranked really well in Google organically?
Heck yes. To me, that I love SEO and PPC because it's kind of like a 1-2 punch, guys. Because the way that you increase your chances of more leads with Google is just more visibility, right? So now, you know, by having ranked organically and you're ranked with paid, you're just setting yourself up for more visibility. So, I mean, that's what I do. I mean, that's the way I, you know, because here's the thing. Every market, it's going to fluctuate. Like 1 month, my best leads are SEO. The next month, PPC is our best leads. But, you know, both of them are consistent. I think it goes back to what you said, Trevor, is that Google is always consistent. It is very predictable. And, you know, as long as you bring those people in through that channel, you will convert those leads.
Yep.
So that's why I love Google. But yeah, everybody should be doing, you should be doing both SEO and PPC. Just look at it as a 1-2 punch, more visibility, more opportunities.
And another thing that I like to do too is, if you think about it, guys, on page one in Google, there's only so much real estate there, right? You've got the 10 or so organic rankings. You got a couple ads up top, couple up down the bottom. So if you're already controlling number one or number two in Google, the way I look at it too is get rid of some of your competition on page one and double up the impressions of your name on there. So if someone does a Google search and they see ABC Homebuyers in a Google ad, and then right below it, they also see ABC Homebuyers, you have two chances now to get the click. And Kylie, what's up, man? Kylie Newbold. I love it.
What's up, guys?
There he is. There he is.
I heard myself get called out on a live video.
You got called out in a good way. It was in a good way.
Yes, in a good way. Absolutely.
Yes. So I'm going to finish this thought. We're going to bring Kylie into the convo, guys. Basically, yes, you should be doing pay-per-click and if you're already ranking well in Google. You're going to be able to get multiple spots now, own more of page one. And at the end of the day, we see really predictable results. A lot of people think, well, shoot, if I do a Google ad now and I'm already ranking organically, I'm just paying for clicks I would have already got. Yeah, in some cases that's the case, but in some cases you're going to get traffic that you never would have gotten. With Google AdWords, usually the number one ranking organically gets 30 to 40% of the clicks. Number two ranking organically, about half that. Number three, about half that, and it keeps on trailing down. The Google ads, the top two Google ads collectively, the last data I saw, it's like 5 to 10% of overall clicks, right? So if you know that far fewer than 50% of the overall clicks on a search go to AdWords and then most go to organic, you're still probably missing some clicks because not 100% of clicks go to the position number one. So definitely do both for sure.
And make sure you have a good follow-up system too, guys. If you're going to immerse into pay-per-click, or really any type of paid traffic, make sure you guys have a good follow-up system. That, I mean, you know, the mindset someone has when they're clicking on an ad is fast. It's kind of like someone going through a drive-through. So you got to serve them fast, you know, because if you don't, then it's just very hard to get back in touch with them. And if they connect with someone first, that just even widens that gap. Mm-hmm. If anything, have a good follow-up system too on top of that.
I love it. So I want to bring Kylie in here, and then I want to show some things on the screen for you. I'll do a little bit of demo because some people were asking before, and we were talking about it too. How do you keep consistency with your website when you're trying to get good Google rankings and trying to then convert other stuff? I'm going to show you some ways that we actually automate or make it way easier for you to get good quality content on your website without you either having to do any work or very little work. So I'm going to show you guys a demo of that here in a second. And some other tools are just going to help you guys out if you're a Carrot customer, if not. But this is something, guys. We're doing – Kylie and I, we actually have a podcast scheduled for right now. So I'm like, bring him in here. We're going to wrap Ask Carrot in a second. We're going to go straight into podcast mode. But many of you don't know yet, but it looks like my Instagram Live got paused. We're back. Many of you guys don't know yet that Kylie Newbold came aboard Carrot January 1st as the VP of marketing here in our company. And I'm just so insanely humbled and honored to have him on the team. I'm pumped about what we're going to be doing together over the course of the many years to come. But it's funny, when you look at the three people on this call, you've got Adrian, one of the top SEO, I have no clue who's calling my phone, Luke, You've got Adrian, one of the top SEO minds in the entire world for real estate investors, if not the top. I'm going to fight you for that one, though. I'll battle you for that one. I'm right there with him. And then you've got Kylie, who's the top mind for Facebook ads for real estate investors, all on this call, y'all. So, Kylie, welcome to First Ask Carrot, man.
Awesome. I'm excited to be here.
So what do you have on your shoulder?
That's my carrot friend. He's not staying up there, though. I thought maybe he'd hang out the whole call, but I don't know. My shoulder's not flat enough.
I love it, man. I love it. So we're going to answer a few more questions here, and then we'll wrap it up and answer any more that comes through here. This has been a lot of fun. Oh, go for it, Kylie.
Trevor, I was just going to add, while you are doing that, on your guys' conversation you just ended, I agree with everything you said. I just had one other thought I wanted to add, because this is a question over my career in real estate that I've gotten a lot. And I think the other thing to consider, Adrian hit it right on the head, your follow-up system. And the other thing is the amount of follow-up volume you can handle to the size of your budget. So if Facebook is working well from a prospecting, so cold prospecting perspective, you're pulling more leads than you are through PPC. But like Adrian said, they are they're just a different kind of lead. You're catching people at varying levels of the decision-making funnel. So they're at varying levels of readiness to make a decision. And so you'll probably have more leads that require more follow-up than you will with the same budget on PPC. So I've seen investors that had to pause their marketing because they got overwhelmed and couldn't follow up with leads anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's a good problem. It's also a bad problem. Like, don't spend money on leads that you can't effectively work to follow up on. I would stick with PPC and retargeting on Facebook until you know, like, you've got a system in place that is going to catch all those and maximize them.
I love it. Amazing answer, man. I love it. So two more questions, guys. Two more questions. So we've got one right here. It is. Okay.
Oh, let me make one official statement. I'm a byproduct of Trevor Mock, so.
Oh, jeez.
So you are, you're number one, buddy.
Hopefully that's a good thing, man. Hopefully that's a good thing.
No, it's a good thing. I'll throw this in. If you want to look at your questions, I mean, you guys, this is how you get smart, guys. I mean, shoot, I got a chance to hang with Kylie last 2 weeks ago in Salt Lake. I get to be around Trevor behind the scenes. I mean, I just been so blessed, and I'm a byproduct of Carrot, so I'll say that.
Well, dude, I'm gonna, now that we're in this love fest, Carrot's partly a byproduct of you too, man, because you've been using us from the beginning. You've been like literally, guys. So we always tell everyone should have an avatar, a core avatar for the company, like who is their ideal client. And we had an avatar, but the avatar had like a name, and its name was Adrian, like a real guy. Like, we actually said, if we had 1,000 Adrians, that'd be amazing. And so here we go. So I'm going to share my screen again. And I need to fulfill the promise I talked about a bit ago, because I completely forgot to do this. This isn't purposeful. So a lot of people say, hey, how do you beat Zillow? Or how do you beat the big guys? How do you beat Express Home Buyers? How do you beat We Buy House? How do you beat those companies at SEO? And so what I did about a month and a half ago, I'm pretty competitive sometimes. So I'm like, people are telling me I can't beat Zillow in SEO. So yeah, it's going to be really hard to beat them for some phrases. I get it. But I'm pretty confident I can beat them in SEO for phrases that matter. So a local real estate agent here, the G Team, they're a really, really amazing brokerage. We've been working with them closely. I'll show you guys here on the screen here in a second on Instagram. But one of their niches, what we always tell people to do, especially in this market environment, is you need to pick something to specialize in. It could be multiple somethings, but if you're a real estate agent, can you specialize in a part of town? Can you specialize in a type of a seller or a buyer, first-time home buyer, someone that's looking at downsizing, small families, you know, families that are looking to create a family home, whatever it is, specialize in something so you can speak to people in the language that's going to match them, okay? And so their niches are North Umpqua River Homes. That's an amazing river in town. They live in the river. They sold me my home in the river. They've sold probably more homes to people on the river than anyone else. Another niche of theirs is just kind of high level upscale homes. It's the same client, right? That client wants to live on the mountain. This other one wants to live by the river. And then another one is rental property owners. Again, same client, guys. It's the same client. The same person who wants to own a big house on the river or on a hill is probably the same person who wants to buy rental properties. for passive income. But we said, okay, let's create a page. Let's create a page and let's see if we can't go after one of your niches to get it ranked. And so you can see right here, Zillow's number two, number three, number four, Realtor.com, Trulia, all these other national sites. And then you see this little old gteamgoahead.com website at number one. That actually bumped up against there about, that bumped up there this last month. I launched this page. I'll show you guys a page and we'll deconstruct how to do it and why I made it that way and exactly how we deconstructed Zillow to beat them at their own game. So basically, this company, this website's probably been up for 5 or 6 years. The URL has been. They switched over to Carrot about a year ago. And we said, okay, what are people looking for if they make that search, North Umpqua River Homes for Sale? And first of all, we went to Google and started typing up phrases to see what would actually pop up, right? So North Umpqua River Homes for Sale, that ended up being a Google suggested search. And then I scroll to the bottom. What are some other phrases that people are typing in? Waterfront homes for sale, Douglas County. Umpqua River property for sale. Riverfront property, Southern Oregon homes for sale. So Google is telling us that these are related to the phrase that I searched. Google's telling us that these phrases down here are related to the phrase North Umpqua River homes for sale. So what that means, we want to find ways to work those phrases into our content. Google's telling us the roadmap. Google's telling us exactly what to put on the darn page. So we go and create a page, okay? And then here's the page. We use our locations page tool. We launched it. We put a nice picture that they sent us over here. They went through our concierge program where it's a high-level program where we dial it in for you. Reach out to us if you're a high-level agent, high-level investor with a budget that doesn't want to do as much of the setup work. We can do the setup work and dial in your website for you. Then we created content. So when I was going through looking at these rankings, the first thing I like to do if I'm trying to get a ranking, guys, is I click every single page in page one to see what they have on them because I want to deconstruct how they're winning so we can beat them at their own game. So I click at the Zillow one. And I go, okay, cool. What's on this page? Okay, number one, of course, Zillow is a massive website. It's got a huge, huge, huge domain authority. That's not something we can compete with. We can't compete against the domain authority here. So we can do as good as we can possibly do and have some backlinks and stuff. But we go, can we compete with site structure and content and make the content better? So right here, okay, out of the gates, of course, they have a bunch of property listings. Okay, cool. Awesome. What's down here now? Now they have this, why Zillow? Oh, look at this. It says Zillow helps find the newest Roseburg real estate listings. And you can see if you read through this paragraph, it has a bunch of links to specific pages set up just in Roseburg. This one's Roseburg Apartments. This one right here is bank-owned properties in Roseburg. This down here is some Roseburg facts and some information about the Roseburg market. This is how Zillow is winning the SEO game, okay? Number one, their title tag says North Umpqua River. Then it says Roseburg Real Estate Homes for Sale. Down here, they have a bunch of pages that are also in Roseburg, niche down pages that they're linking to from this page. They have some market information about the market. They're bringing in content here, and they have some content here. So what I did is I find all the written content, and I go, how many words are in here? How many words are in here that's specific to Roseburg stuff? So I took this, figured out how many words they have on the page, not including like, you know, this stuff here, not including this stuff here. And it was about 300 words, if I remember correctly, when I tried it out before, including the title tag and stuff. And I went, okay, if I can create a page with probably 500 to 800 words, make it more robust, make it more content, make it better, include some good images, make sure that my title tag is really good and drilled down to the exact phrase I'm trying to rank for. Because if I'm going to beat Zillow, I've got to be drilled down exactly with my title tag and some other things in the phrase I'm looking to go for. So you can see I titled it North Umpqua River Homes for Sale in Roseburg, Oregon. That's exactly what I'm trying to rank for, but hopefully I rank for other phrases related to it. Okay, the next thing is I put a good title, looking for North Umpqua River Homes for Sale. You can see I use it kind of similar. And then down here, I use a bunch of different phrases that are similar. You can see a waterfront property in Roseburg. Where did we get that, guys? We got that from Google. We got that from Google. Google was telling us that people were searching for waterfront. The word waterfront is bolded. So I went in here to make sure that I'm talking about waterfront homes, okay? It also said river homes in Douglas County. The word Douglas County is important to Google because it says it's related. What do you guys see here? You see Douglas County. You see river homes in one of those, okay? So I start to work those phrases in there that Google's telling me. So I put about 500 words on this page, put a nice image. I put the property listings there through our IDX system. And then I did exactly what Zillow did here, guys. I'm just going to go back to the Zillow page. I did exactly what Zillow did. And this is the way that we do SEO. You deconstruct what's working, you make it better. And so what do you see down here? You see why you use Zillow, then you see a bunch of facts about the area, and then you see some links to some other pages. So we're like, all right, let's just go ahead and do what they're doing. Why work with the G team? I build a bunch of content about why to work with them. I also put our keyword in there. And then I went and grabbed other common phrases and I linked them up to their other pages. This one's linked up to the Garden Valley page. This one's linked up to the Hugh Crest page, okay? And then we put a call to action at the bottom that's specific to the River Homes list. So this one here took about 2 months to beat Zillow and Google. Just creating about 700 words on here, good quality content, deconstructing what Zillow had done with their page format, but adding more content and making it better, making sure my title tag was really drilled in and it beat it, and it's getting leads right now, really, really targeted leads. So that is how you beat Zillow. We're going to keep on doing it with them and keep on putting out training to show you guys how to do it.
Whew.
That is awesome.
Awesome. Really? Yeah.
Let's see the wave. Or the
If you are watching this right now, that you just saw something really cool. That what I love about this too, Trevor, is not only were you able to deconstruct it and beat it, I just like the representation that everything that that you guys have talked about on this call and everything that Trevor talks about on that Carrot teaches is what Zillow is doing. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes people get wrapped up in this idea that like the big companies have some sort of secret sauce that the rest of us don't have. And yeah, certainly they have resources and things like that, that, you know, we may not have, but the strategy is the same. Mm-hmm. And you can absolutely beat them for the things that matter.
Yep. Exactly. And I'll finish it with this because we're running a little long. The questions have been amazing. There's still some in here that we don't have time to answer. We'll get them next week, guys. But is all things equal, it's going to be really hard for us to beat Zillow with a bad tech stack. And I know Adrian and I have been using that word tech stack a lot. Like, does that mean you're stacking up cell phones and VCRs and stuff? No, it's not stacking that stuff. It's like the tech stack is basically what is the website built on? And ours is really fast and it's smooth and it's clean and keeps on getting better. So in order to take us, we were stuck at number four. We were stuck at position four for about 3 weeks, maybe even a month. And then it went to position three, and one of the Zillow rankings was below us. I believe that if we had a tech stack that was slower, things like that, that it wouldn't have bumped up there. One last thing that just popped my mind, we talked about title. We talked about how to get your click-through rate higher, right? So when people click the rankings in Google, the ones at the higher click-through rates is actually a factor to get it ranked better. What I did too, let me just go back. This is the last tip. Guys, I could talk about this stuff for 2 hours, so I'm going to shut up after this one, I promise. So the last tip here I'm sharing my screen is look at the page and look at the other title tags. This big thing up here is called the title, okay? Look at the other titles and see if you can just come up with one that still has the keywords in it but is more compelling, okay? So this one here, North Umpqua River - Roseburg Real Estate - Roseburg Homes. It's kind of like lifeless. Down here, Oregon Waterfront. Okay, but it's not really specific to the North Umpqua River Homes for Sale. This one here, depending on the day that you search it or whatever, this actually says on my cell phone when I do it, it actually shows it this way. The title tag is North Umpqua River Homes for Sale, Umpqua River Property, something like list updated daily or updated daily. So I added in the words updated daily because it shows, oh, this is cool. Like I can see an updated list. It looks different than the other ones down there. And so who knows if that was a factor, but try to put things in there that grab their attention, that make them want to click the thing in the first place. All right. So Adrian, Kyler, we're going to shut this thing down, drop the mic. But any parting words for this week's Ask Carrot?
Yeah, we're going to do this each and every week. Wow. That's, I mean, just today alone could be a podcast. It could be a training course. So I'm really, really, really excited about it. One thing I will say, since we're talking about SEO, one of the things I love that you did, and you didn't use Keyword Planner, right? You use all of Google suggests.
All Google search. Yep.
So let me throw a nugget towards everybody. And some of it, some people may disagree, but I'm going to tell you, I love that you did that because I feel like Google suggests is more accurate than Google the Keyword Planner.
Yeah.
One of the big things that a lot of people don't realize about Keyword Planner is, so let's say you do you want to know how many searches was for We Buy Houses in Portland. It shows 500 searches. So people want to naturally run with that term. But here's a key that a lot of people don't know. just because it's 500 searches doesn't mean it was 500 individual people.
Yeah.
It could have been four people searching 500 times, right? So it's not as reliable as the way you did it is Google is giving you those suggestions based on what actual people are searching for. And that's what I love about it. So, I mean, to me, that's a big hack right there, guys. It is a rabbit hole, but you don't have to make it a rabbit hole. I mean, it's just little hacks like that that can make all the difference and just help you keep moving along. Because I think Kylie said this, like we overthink it. We make it harder than it is. So I love that the way you did it, just using the data that Google has without really going into deep diving into something like Google Planner or Keyword Planner. So
keep it simple, man. Keep it simple. Awesome. I love it. Kylie, any parting words, man?
Man, I listened to most of this call before I jumped on it. Incredible, incredible stuff. I would say send in questions. Yep. So if you were hanging out today and watching, thank you. Even if you're watching a recorded version of this, the big thing here is we want to provide a platform for you to get questions answered in a really meaningful way. And so take advantage of that. Send in questions, please. And we want to see you here each week. I think you saw from this one just how valuable it can be, and that's our goal every single week. Trevor wrote the URL right there on the board, Carrot.com/ask. That's where you go to ask questions. We will collect questions at any time of day or night, so it doesn't have to be during the live call. You can send them in before, and we'll look at them and pull them into the call.
I love it. Well, thank you guys for joining. Thank you everyone for staying on here. We're going to, on the future ones, we're going to keep them hour max. I just got excited about a couple things. And so we're going to keep them to hour max. And also there's so many good questions come through. I just feel bad about not answering them all. So we're going to have to get your questions in early, make them good questions. We'll answer as many as we can on the next ones. We're keep hour max, respect your time. Carrot.com/ask. And also I'm going to shamelessly say two different things. Okay. Carrot Camp. Carrot Camp is coming up in May. Carrot Camp is one of my favorite things we do here at Carrot. And May 20th and 21st, we have not even sent an email out about Carrot Camp. We have almost half the spots filled up already from returning Carrot Campers. That says a lot. The people invested a bunch of money to come out here once. They're doing it again because the way that it changed their business changed their life. And so if you want a chance to come to this Carrot Camp in May, there are income qualifications. You have to make over $100,000 a year in your real estate business just so we can make sure that there's a quality level there. But go to carrotcamp.com, submit your application, and get your payment in because we are pumped to see you in May. But we're going to hit send on an email on Monday to 45,000 people on our distribution list. And if you're kind of getting a little bit of a head start. So carrotcamp.com if you want to join us here. Second thing is I'm going to completely unabashedly promote Carrot, our service. If you can't tell, like I'm so passionate about what we do because yeah. I know every single day we're saving people time. We're saving people from tools that are going to actually rob them of freedom, flexibility, finances, and rob them of predictability and consistency. If you're out there trying to swim against the current using a tool that the tech stack is harder, it's clunky, or it costs you money, you think you just want to do it yourself because you think that having a template, quote unquote template site, is inferior. The biggest investors in the country are moving over to Carrot because they're actually finding that what is inferior is going with a faulty belief of I've got to have this thing that it's a WordPress site that I quote unquote own. You don't own a WordPress site that's on someone else's server, even if you're paying on another hosting account. But here's the deal, guys. What's inferior is going after something that looks pretty, not performs better and puts money in your pocket. We want to help you guys perform better so you can focus on being better real estate investors and better agents. Just go to carrot.com. We'd love to work with you if there's a chance. And we will see you next week on Ask Carrot, 1 p.m. Pacific time, sharp. Carrot customers, make sure to check out our coaching calls every single Tuesday and Wednesday. Tuesdays are investors, Wednesdays are agents, and Thursdays are Ask Carrot. Thank you guys. Have an amazing rest of the week. Kylie, Adrian, thank you guys.
See you, everybody.
See you guys.